Excuse me, today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Okay, so I need to do it again. Okay. We're going to do this again. It's Marilyn Cade. We're kicking off, and we'll do the roll call again very quickly, starting with Jensen.
Jensen Olufuye, AFIPTA.
Alisa Cooper, Thomson Reuters.
John Berard, GNSO Council, Counselor from the BC.
Marie Patello, AIM.
Steve Diavanka, NetChoice, and Vice Chair for Policy.
Bryce Coughlin, Fox News Corp.
Michael Costello, Costello Cities.
Larry Ajay, Noncoma.3 and AFIPTA.
Chris Chaplow, NWC.com, and Vice Chair Finance and Operations.
Liz Sweezy, Fairwinds Partners.
And are we connected now to the remote to Angie, Susan, and Gabby?
Yeah, this is Gabriela Slack from El Instituto.
And Angie and Susan are connected through Adobe Connect, so they're listening in.
Okay, fantastic. So you guys have the schedule for the next 2 days that Benny sent out to you, and there's a couple of things that I want to particularly flag that I think we need to be aware of, and that is we're going to have a very rare opportunity to have a lot of face time for the executive committee and for remote members with the senior leadership. And we talked a little bit earlier about whether we're going to be happy with an intersessional, whether we think it was the right approach, et cetera. But we need to make the most of this opportunity that we have. And one of the things I want to just mention to people is, you know, I think the organization is racing as fast as it can to build services and functions that have been missing for a long time. But that means there's a huge number of moving parts and a lot of new people who are in positions where they themselves are racing. So to give you an example, I saw Rodrigo, the vice president for LATAM, at the meeting in Peru that I was at. And Rodrigo was there for a very short period of time because he's busy working on the strategy for Latin America. We're trying to do some outreach, Jimson and I and others, with Pierre, the vice president for the African region. They're trying to devise a strategy for outreach to stakeholders in their region. And what we want to do in our conversation with Sally, with Fadi, with Tarek, is to make sure that they are totally connected to us and not disconnecting themselves accidentally or prioritizing perhaps one group within a region over another. Business users have not had the kind of support and attention that they need at the regional level. And if we're going to succeed, we have to be able to broaden and deepen the BC across the globe. So strengthen our support and participation from global business, from brands that are coming on board, from small businesses, of course, from Europe and North America. But we also have to take into account the commitment that Fadi has made, supported by the board, to significantly internationalize ICANN by bringing activities down at the regional level. And so what that looks like, for instance, are meetings that take place in the region. And one of our challenges is going to be how do we make sure that they're working with us. So if you have a presence, for instance, in one of the regions and there's a meeting going on, we want to make sure that the business user voice is heard, not just the applicants to be GTLD registries or GTLD registrars, but that it's a more diverse participatory recognition of the importance of partnering with business. They're going to be sharing ideas about things that they are doing. And there's going to be a lot of exchanges. And I expect this to culminate in things being shared with us that we can post to our members, but possibly very quick turnaround for us to then go back to the members and say, does this work for you as the business constituency? Is the approach that's being taken working? So to give you one example, there's an idea of building a special MENA summit in the Arab States. But there's a MENA ICT week hosted by the King of Jordan that involves the ICT sector already and which has a large number of businesses attending. So, you know, from our perspective, we might prefer to see the exchange of information so that we're able to draw on business users who are already participating in MENA ICT Week and bring Fadi as a speaker or Sally as a speaker or someone else into that environment, as well as think about how we work with ICANN to increase and change the materials. And we've talked a lot about that today, that the materials that right now are being developed are just not that usable with businesses, whether they're large or small. I think there is a huge amount of interest on the part of Sally and on the part of Fadi and others to figure out how to work with us. But I think we also have to be very pragmatic about there's a lot of new staff, and there is a lot going on, and we have some other key priorities. So we need to also be thinking about what are our key priorities for ICANN. And if we could talk a little bit about, you know, what are our priorities for ICANN, and where are they in meeting our needs as business users, and how do we help them improve and strengthen the services that they're providing to us? Because I think this is a key time. We're also facing an opportunity to provide input on the effectiveness of the toolkit, changes and enhancements to the toolkit in terms of resources, the idea that maybe it is time for ICANN to provide more policy support to the SGs. That's not about just supporting the council, but about more general support. So let me shut up and ask for comments and thoughts and priorities. Realize that first up tomorrow morning is our meeting with Fadi. So we have some ideas, but I think I'd like to kind of hear again, you know, what do you guys want to prioritize? It's 90 minutes with just the CSG participants. So that's the IPC, the ISPs, and the BC.
This is Steve. The questions I asked today of the staff we met with already reveal what I believe our priorities ought to be. And I think that we ought to ask an inquiry. We don't want to necessarily challenge Fadi on this notion that he thinks the straw man was a mistake. I think you want to back into that rather than take it on head on. And the way to back into it is to ask about the evolving thinking about what's implementation versus policy. And what we learned from David Olive is that his document was merely supposed to be descriptive of the way it works now, and that simply isn't true. If you look at the document, he's actually inventing what he thinks it should be, but it isn't the way it's worked so far. So we want to try to everybody get familiar with that so we can ask intelligent questions about that, and hopefully that will give us a chance to say, well, I can see a few things we've done in the name of implementation that if you ran them through this model that David built, they would be called policy, things like the drawing. Right. Just to say that we understand implementation has to happen. So that's one element. Another is I asked about the review. What is the board going to do to define the standard of review? And I would encourage the CEO not to dump resources into review until the board does its job at defining the criteria. It's a complete waste of time. So we can start the review, but it's really the board has a job to do. And then I do think we want to work our way into this implementation improvements in the clearinghouse, but from the perspective of registrant protection, business user protection, the things that Marie said in particular, and avoid doing a Me Too discussion where we sound just like the IPC. I know we have the same concerns, But we do it to protect our users, not to reduce the cost of defensive registrations. Let's let them have that rhetoric. For us, it's to reduce the distress put on our users and customers. And it's not just about defensive registrations, right?
Others?
Yes, this is Gabby.
Yes, go ahead, Gabby, and then we'll come to Jimson.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I wanted to say that what we are really needing around here is materials for bringing awareness to businesses, but materials that will be easier to use. Because, for instance, when we organized the event in Argentina, we spent a lot of time just trying to make the right materials for people that doesn't know anything about NTTLDs at all. So we are faced with not the explanation on how to submit a trademark to the clearinghouse, but how to explain what ICANN is and what NTTLDs are, and then what the trademark clearinghouse is, and then after that, how to submit a trademark. So it's harder for us. So that's one point. And the other one is to say that there's a meeting in Montevideo, the 6th and 7th of February, that is going to be about the Latin American strategy, and we are invited. Celia is representing Instituto. So if it's important, we can give, like, a feedback for you after that meeting for being able to have this communication between the regional strategies and the BC. Thank you.
That's fantastic. I had heard you that you were being invited, and that was one of the questions I wanted to come back to you guys on. Just a real quick example. Gabby and Celia did an e-Instituto event, and we literally had to reinvent everything from scratch, including they had to translate, of course, everything into Spanish. And the even though they had an excellent panel, you know, it isn't even useful to send what I think we were able to use our fact sheet, but even our brochures don't really work when you're going to a really brand new novice environment. And I know Chris did a workshop in Spain last year. That where we were starting out with the what is ICANN and why is it relevant? And, you know, now the interesting thing is a lot of media has happened, which may have at least created what we would call name recognition, but not name understanding. But just to reinforce and support your comments, I think we do want to we do want to talk a little bit about that. And I think our needs are different from the IPC's needs, maybe more like the INPOX needs we may find, or more like the small ISP's needs. Jimson?
Thank you, Maria. I think I will first and foremost commend Fadi's the outreach vision and strategy. And appreciate the fact that a big gap is being filled or addressed. Mm-hmm. I'm saying about the gap because, again, the result of Wikit that we just had in Dubai, the experience is basically that, you know, there are a number of entities that are not reached out to, that are not aware of, you know, the relevance of ICANN. And so we need to focus on the specifically reaching the GAC or the government in the developing nation, in those regions, especially Africa. Governments are very important to business in Africa. In fact, they are the biggest spender in Africa. So if governments truly believe in multi-stakeholder model, it will favor businesses. And then addressing businesses itself, see, there's a nexus, there's a connection. And now reaching out to business on its own requires, you know, fundamental review, you know, of whatever they have done right now. Because I know that peers are trying to reach out to registries and registrars, but it's beyond that. So priority has to be to the users, to the new entrepreneur, and even strategies about reaching students, there are a lot of young people, you know, all over the place, and they need to be talking. They're not talking yet. Like, we are leaders here in Africa. So I think government needs to be engaged along to be involved more enough in ICANN. That outreach has to have a mechanism in place, ready mechanism to make sure it's active, and also addressing business, not at the short term, but even at the long term. Because the long term, I think that is the whole idea of the outreach. Thank you.
Job is delivering content, or is, you know, selling products, or, you know, delivering insurance services, or trying to enter the market in new countries. And I'm really struck with how difficult it is to translate. So why don't you come and work on the ITRTB-1 Part D. Because it's really important to your business, huh? I mean, really, even a conversation like, you know, how about who is? That's really important to you. That just doesn't translate to businesses. And I'm really kind of feeling like, you know, we also have to think about how we can be a better translator for business. About, okay, here's why it's relevant, and it's not, you know, come and sit through a policy development working group, a PDP on. So when we're thinking about what we want ICANN to do to help us so we can help them, you know, isn't this part of our challenge as well?
Yeah, I would just say, I mean, I think that stuff's a little bit more palatable. Like, at least I can kind of explain, well, wouldn't you like to be able to find the real owner of a website? Okay, I mean, so like, I mean, so some of that stuff, I mean, even though some of it gets kind of esoteric, but the stuff that, like, I cannot get people interested or excited about, and it's just not what they sign up for, is all the other stuff, is the review teams, is the, you know, selection of the, I mean, just all of it, like, just all that stuff that doesn't have to do with the policy is just hard for people. It's a ton of stuff to learn, a ton of stuff to understand, and it's also not really what business is really interested in. They're interested in, you know, finding the real owner of a website. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, the one comment I want to make here is that I think one of the things that ICANN can do, and I know that Fadi has said that he is focused on that, but frankly, in many ways we have yet to see it, is ICANN has to be a better communicator. I mean, that is just huge. I mean, and there are so many examples, very recent examples, where that just doesn't happen on major, major issues. I mean, in all sorts of ways, whether you're talking about the, like, Whois or NEPP, or even, like, the TMCH. I mean, really huge stuff. I mean, and this is a great way, I think, to differentiate from the IPC also, because this is not solely focused on cost, defensive registrations, or what have you. I mean, for example, the fact that someone had to discover that the pricing scheme just happened to be posted on the TMCH website, and that is a major focus for businesses that are coming up with budgets, that have fiscal years, that have figured this stuff out. And not just from a point of view of defensive registrations, but also a point of view from where are they going to participate? Where are they going to sell their services and products? Where are they going to be in the Internet a year from now? I mean, the fact that we just had to discover that is ridiculous. It's also ridiculous that we still don't have a good idea about where new applications in the new GTLD program really are. We have the priority drawing. We don't know when those evaluations are actually going to be released. We don't know what and part of what they say is, okay, well, now that we did the priority drawing, we can group them, and then we'll release them in groups. We don't know how big the groups are. We don't know when the groups are coming out. We don't know. Because all we know is that, okay, this application is number 1500. It tells us absolutely nothing. That is a random data point that is not helpful to a business. So basic things like this, I mean, and then one day we'll get an email and say, P.S., now you have 2 weeks. You have 10 days. Yeah, I mean, it is not a feasible way. I mean, yeah, and the big problem is this is not the way that, as all of us know in this room, this is not the way that businesses operate. We don't get an email and have 10 days to come up with our fiscal year budget on ICANN's, you know, clock and then figure out where we're going to be with our business in that time. That's just not how it works. And they have at their fingertips the ability to share this information with us in a way that we can then translate to businesses. We can then share and pass all along all of our different networks in a way that's useful. They have got to get better about communication. It has just got to change.
We were just talking about examples, and one that I came across quite recently, and I think was quite a good one, was a client of ours who did a web design for us some years ago called us and said, our website stopped working, please, can you help us fix it? And, of course, it was the domain, they hadn't registered it, they hadn't renewed it, and it's gone down a few days before. So for one of the policies, it was before my time, one of the PC policies, to give the time period after the registration fails. That's one of the things. That's a good example that clients can, business people can understand. And then just sort of one quick point about the IRTPD. That is a very good working group for any of us or any friends or contacts of ours that want to start with a working group. It's a practical one. It's unlikely to be contentious, so it would be a very good one for people to cut their teeth on if they fancy dipping their toes in the water. Thanks.
I can add something if you want me to. This is Gabby again. When I talk about the need for materials, I'm also referring to materials that the marketing people will understand, not only lawyers or people that are engaged in internet governance. I need marketing people that will understand and talk to their clients about the needs to be aware of what is going to happen in the internet in the future. So I need material that will be different and easier and that they can use with their clients. Because if they have to build these materials by their own, they will need like 2 years of training before being able to do that. So I need these materials already ready for them and not for them to be needing to create these materials. I'm not sure if this makes sense to you.
Let me give you guys a small homework assignment if you're online. Go to the go to www.itu.int. And what you'll see there, if it's still what was there last night at 2 a.m. in the morning, is a announcement about the ITU hosting the UN Youth Forum and young people debating the future of the Internet. And I will just say that the engine of communication at the, and I know a lot about what the ITU is actually doing, the engine of communication is incredibly effective at the ITU. And I think, Jimson, you saw that while we were together. I think what we're looking for is we want that kind of ability to translate something that is actually about work at a telecommunications standards body, but it got translated into it's about the future of the Internet. So, you know, I'm going to say more effective communication, more fact-based communication, materials that are generally that we can customize and reuse, but that also I think they have to be spending more time listening to us and other people like us about what it's going to take to be effective communicators. There, ICANN is planning to launch a speakers bureau. And originally the plan was to have only
ICANN staff and senior executives, former board members, and board members. And some of the pushback has been, you're not the most effective communicators with our communities. And, oh, by the way, someone posted, and, oh, by the way, too many of the staff are brand new and don't actually know anything about ICANN. So it was a fairly direct posting. But, you know, let me park the concept of communication and realize we have two bites at that. One is in the conversation with Fadi, and the other is in the conversation with Sally in the afternoon.
In terms of communication, there's a certain fragmentation as well. So you make the point about the Trademark Clearinghouse fee structure, okay? So I got that. I got an email from Bruce Tonkin on the council list on Wednesday, which had the fee structure information. I then sent it to the BC list on Wednesday. But it becomes almost like an error. Yes, I did. I just confirmed that I sent it.
I'm shaking my head because I feel like it's the game of whisper.
Right. So what my point is that it becomes almost like an aerosol, right? I mean, instead of having something solid that you can look at, feel, touch, and discuss, it becomes an aerosol, and it's just sprayed into the air. The assumption being that, well, if you're involved with ICANN, some of these droplets will fall upon you. Now, you know, Bruce, he's great at sending stuff out to the council list. I mean, I only forward a third of what I get from him, and some of which I don't even understand. But this notion of forwarding emails from a small group to a slightly larger group to a slightly larger group is not an effective way to make people aware of what you think they should be aware of. Now, I haven't talked to Sally since we met with her in Toronto. Sally has an extraordinary background in terms of being a public relations agency executive. I don't know if she still has all her hair or what in the months that she's been on the job, but it is such a large, fast-growing, disparate organization that I believe suffers from a sort of a tick box syndrome, right? I mean, they've got a list, a to-do list, and when one of those things gets done, man, they tick that box and they move on to the rest of it. So in talking to Fadi tomorrow, I would like to know, he's an a former technology industry executive, how is he deploying technology to improve the productivity of his staff? I also think that your point about being sucked into the vortex of what the IPC might want to focus on. I mean, I've long had this conversation with, I hate the fact that we so often look like a sidecar in their motorcycle. It just bothers me. But listen to Elisa. One of the key factors that a business person can actually get his or her hooks into is risk management. And the fact is, risk management, well, I got lawyers that handle that. So AT&T will dispatch a security specialist, right? But if you're like Fox or some other large company, risk management means, okay, let me get, you know, Latham & Watkins. They handle all that stuff for us. So IPC has the sort of the ability to bill their time. They're almost the only non-contracted party that can act like a contracted party. Yeah. The rest of us sort of have a personal interest, professional interest sort of comes together. But, you know, I'm a GNSO counselor, and believe me, I try and pay as much attention as I can. But I probably don't see everything that I should see. And some of the stuff I see, I probably don't understand the full importance of.
I mean, I think my point on that is just that really shouldn't really be fall solely on you. I mean, that I think your comment is totally insightful and right on in the sense of I love the imagery of the aerosol. I think that's so appropriate. And I think it totally underscores the problem, which is that it's not always just about having information out there. Like, yes, it is technically available at some totally obscure link on the ICANN website. Yeah, like that's not the point. The point is about the quality of the information. It's about how it's presented. It's about, and I think really the underlying issue is an understanding of what the needs are behind us needing that information. It's not just having it. It's what you were saying, Marilyn. It's about what are our needs? Why do we need this information? What are we going to do with this information? And if I can get that, I guarantee they will present it in a different way.
So I'm going to say two things to you guys to think about. You have FADI, then you have a meeting with the CSG, then you have Sally. I want us to think about spreading our messages and making sure we're hitting the right level of message for FADI and the more detail for Sally on because she owns support to stakeholders. Now, the interesting thing for us is I am sorry to tell you, you're going to have to do more work, right? Because you now have to not only work with the policy process, but you also have to devote your time to bridging into the implementation team. Right, so Christine Willett and her team are now increasingly important to us, just as we know that Maggie is. So when we think about what ICANN can do to make, you know, there's only so much we can do, ICANN has to also organize themselves so that they can support us in being effective. And I think that part of that message needs to go to Sally, not just to FADI. So think about the level that you want to go into it with FADI, because FADI's got another big agenda item. You know, I bite my tongue every time we talk about this crazy schedule about the implementation of 1900 GTLDs or whatever they are, because of the number of times that the BC and others tried to get them to take a more reasonable approach. But they're on that timeline. So I think one message I think we need to deliver to FADI is we are ICANN's biggest customer and their best friend as business. And we're actually much more important than contracted parties one at a time are. When you think about the whole scheme of the internet and what ICANN wants to be in our relationship with government. Yes, please.
Because all of you have your hands in the minutiae of what needs to be done with policy. I stand outside of that in more general terms. But when I look at the BC and what used to be the DNSO, which is now the GNSO, that to me is one of the most powerful organizations, I think, on the internet. Because your structure revolves around domain names. And what domain names do is they empower everyone. I mean, it's an even playing field from the highest to the lowest in any other country. Everybody has the access to reaching anybody on the internet with that domain name. So what we're doing here is of extreme importance. ICANN has a marketing problem. I mean, they don't really have any personalities. There's no glamour in it. With is glamour free? I made a lot of money off of domain names over the last 15 years. I mean, I was registering them when they were free. But with glamorous is when somebody can pick up an iPhone or a Mac and just put in the word daycare or bullion in the URL, and it goes right to somebody without going through a search engine or going through Facebook. It really empowers both users. And I think that's what's glamorous. I think that is where ICANN really needs to find its place with businesses and with these local populations around the world. There's that glamour. It's part of it. It's exciting. It's become very, to me, when I read a lot of the emails and all of you are doing a lot of work, I'm like, wow, I don't even know if I can get my head wrapped around this. But I know it simply works for me as a businessman. And I know it simply makes me somebody who is just a musician, used to play on stage, actually able to reach a lot of other people around the world like I used to with my music. Now I can just do it with the domain name. So that's the glamour that I think. And the BC is so important to me. I think the GNSO and the BC have probably one of the strongest positions in the internet, I think. It just isn't being seen that way right now, but it is. It's very important.
Okay, we're going to make Michael come to all our meetings.
That's right. That's right. This is Steve. And the discussion of the last 20 minutes has been about business communication and participation, And we could go on all night about that. But I'll just quickly reinsert, because I'm your vice chair for policy coordination, two additional policy topics that we want to take to the CEO tomorrow. I gave you three earlier, Marilyn. There's two extra ones. One is near and dear to Elisa and Susan. It's the notion of this Who is Experts group. The CEO and his staff are the ones managing the expert group. And we'd like to remind the CEO, because he probably has never heard about it, that there are five fact-based studies of Who is that should be the foundation for what this expert group does. So that will be news to Fadi, I am sure. He'll want to write that down and talk to his staff about, don't start from a wish list of what Who is ought to be, but talk about how it is being used and if it is being abused, because part of our studies traced whether there is abuse of Who is to violate privacy or send spam, since that's what those who want to blow up Who is are saying. So it's a small point about having him manage the expert group. And the final policy point is I brought up a few times today to understand whether staff is even thinking about it, and they're not. And this is the question of how does several hundred applicants who want to run closed TLDs, how will they get the exemption from ICANN? It's not the board that grants the exemption, it's management. So the CEO will have to cook up a committee, a policy group, a staff group that has to evaluate hundreds of applications. Bryce's company is going to come in and say, we want to run .fox. He has no contention. We want to run .fox only for our own stations and properties. You have to ask permission to run it to get an exemption from the code of conduct to own any second-level domains. And the criteria to get that has not been defined. It might not be the CEO's job to define the criteria. That's probably new GTLD committee of the board. But it'll be Fadi's job to figure that out, press the board for an answer, and to communicate what the criteria is so that companies like Fox can make the application, but also so that hundreds of other companies who don't want to run their trademark as closed, but they just want to run a generic term, right? So that when Microsoft, Amazon, Google, who are all members of ours and a bunch of members of mine, want to run generic words as a closed TLD, are they going to be allowed to do that through this exemption process?
I want to be careful about our not, if we could think overnight about how we position the comments at a high level about the straw man and about the, yes, thank you, about the straw man, which I want to go back to,
yeah,
but
useful list of policies that I wrote down. We nibbled around the edges by asking about implementation versus policy and Dr. Strauss' perspective on claims notices. But we didn't actually list yet in this room taking on the straw man face up.
Microphone. Sorry. Thank you, Jesse. So let's start thinking about this is the CEO. It's 90 minutes. There's three constituencies. There'll be multiple people on the phone. And I don't want this to turn into a debate with the CEO about the implementation of the new GTLD program alone. Because to me, it is a major operational issue, right? And it's a program that brings lots of negative externalities. It also brings some positives. But we need to figure out what the right level is to pitch the concerns we have and also recognize we have another hour with Christine tomorrow. And we kind of have the advantage of having had an opportunity to meet with her. So just think tonight about what you think the right level is to pitch some of this, and let's keep going through some of the other issues, because we also got sessions tomorrow. Christine, so we have Sally and David for 2 hours. Right after lunch. And it seems to me, so one of the things that I'm going to be asked to do is make introductory comments about our engagement plans and expectations. So Gabby's doing, we have some existing initiatives underway, one that AFICTA is working on with us, one that eInstituto is, the idea of doing the event at MENA ICT Week, but we need to be thinking about what are we asking from Sally and from David in terms of support and in terms of changes in support? Before I turn to you, Chris, let me just also say to everyone, if you haven't signed up for My ICANN,
just be aware that it is very possible that Fadi thinks the answer to customizing communication with you is my ICANN. And I'm here to say, I don't think so, but we need to hear from others on that. Yes, Elisa, and then I want to go to...
I was going to say, I think that will be... So if we talk about, you know, the need for improving communication, I think they will say that my ICANN is the solution. And I don't know. I've signed up for it. I receive daily notifications. It's overwhelming. Like, you know...
I set mine up for weeks. Even if Joe wants.
Using email to manage information is really not a good solution, actually.
Well, it notifies you. They go click on the link back to the
email. Right.
It has to be this, yeah. Avoiding the aerosol with these darts to you. Yeah.
Right.
It could work.
I use it. It doesn't work for me. It's too... Well, I get it daily, and it doesn't work for me. It's still too much information, and it's still, like, sending me back to that website. And so if I ever want to try to find something on the website, you know, I'll spend another 10, 15 minutes trying to find it.
I only do it once a week.
This is John Berard. The A problem with my ICANN is that it puts a different wrapper on the old problem.
Exactly.
That is
so well said.
I better stop there.
Oh, wow, you're good.
I'd just like to follow up on that, and in particular on something that Bryce said, because with you talking, brainstorming here, one thing that strikes me is it's all well and good to get an email if you know that you need an email, because ICANN is doing something that affects everyone. Whether or not businesses choose to engage, whether or not users, consumers, your man on the street chooses to engage, is actually irrelevant. It's happening, it's going forward, and it's going to affect you. So it's all well and good being the CEO of a very large company that's a multinational that has heard of domain names, but Fred Smith and his local hairdresser in Auckland doesn't know that he needs an email about a trademark sorting clearing something or other house. Sure. So perhaps ICANN needs to remember that it may be a standalone not-for-profit company, but it is in fact operating something that affects everyone.
And I would just also, I completely agree, and I would just also add to that in addition, I mean, the people, even for a big company, the people that need to have that email and need to have that information aren't necessarily the people who are focused on risk, or aren't necessarily the lawyers, or aren't even necessarily the people that have been engaged in policy or government relations or any of those things. Sometimes those people are the biz dev people. Sometimes those people are the product developers. Sometimes those people are the people that have no idea what is going on in this organization. And my ICANN is the solution for those people.
So I want to be sure Lonry gets in, and then can I go to you, John? Lonry, did you want to?
I think ICANN is improving communication to the community. I mean, my ICANN is a good example. But I can't see improved communication to the larger society. I can't see improved communication, for example, to the BC members. A lot of BC members are not aware of new developments, of the new GTLD, of the new RPMs, and all that stuff. So I think that is the area where I can have to improve communication.
Excellent.
In addition to that, I also believe that BC itself has some roles to play in all of this, in assisting ICANN to get those communications, those information to their members. I believe BC has to devise some sub-communication strategies to get the words out. I mean, we can't leave it out only to ICANN. I mean, the members of BC deserve certain communication from the BC itself. The newsletter is a good example. I mean, it's a good job designed to improve communication, but I guess the newsletters have to be enriched and widely circulated. It's still limited to participants in ICANN. It should go out to the businesses. That's my thinking.
Lonry, the purpose of the newsletter initially was to show ICANN what they needed to do. I mean, originally, the purpose of doing the newsletter, the one we did in Nairobi, was to say, for Pete's sake, this is what something needs to look like. And we're not putting the substance into it, partly because of lack of resources. We had a fantastic article from Elisa that we were able to put in on new GTLDs. We had something from the security team, and we have something coming from them again. But we really don't have the resources going into the content that, you know, like an update that is written for an insert in association magazines that says, new GTLDs are coming to the online pharmaceutical world, you know, or something that is really customizable so that it can be translated. You know, regulated entities like insurance and banking are facing major change. Things that would resonate, so that if you went to a Tech America or a WHTSA and you said, put this in, you know, would you like to carry this in your as an op-ed or a letter from FADI? So I think there's a lot we could do. The substance is lacking, however, right now. And I like your comments about, you know, could we make some major changes in this? But I think we do have a role to play. We need to make sure that ICANN thinks that they're going to support that, though, and not just take on work. Chris wants to say something.
Thanks, Chris. You originally asked Marilyn what to tell Sally what we want and what is needed, and just to bring up the point that Lonrie made, in the SOAC support requests, content was specifically excluded. So that's just underlining what you've just said. The production was supported, the printing, the transport, but the content was specifically excluded, and that had to be to the volunteers according to the current model. So maybe that's something to chip away at. The other things I was just going to say, I've forgotten. come back. Sorry.
Let me use this opportunity to compliment Chris on the great timeline that he did for us, which could go in with our filing, which conveyed the message very effectively. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you. Yes, come back. The Speakers Bureau's a good initiative, but it always existed before. It was always possible to get ICANN people to speak at meetings. And the solution, I think, is in the word underwriting. Now, I tried very hard to get a Chamber of Commerce in Spain, in Madrid, to run an event, which we BC would have gone and supported and done outreach on the back of it. Some members thought it was a good idea, others didn't. They were all nervous. What if we hold this event and we spend money and then nobody turns up? And there wasn't the confidence that educating people at GTLDs, it was just too techy and nobody would be interested. So it didn't happen, and that was a shame. And there was no mechanism within ICANN at the time, and still isn't, that ICANN could have perhaps underwritten it and said, you know, you hold the event, you charge 30 euros a head or whatever, because we want serious people to come and publicize it. And if it's for whatever, it's just a disaster, then we'll pay that, underwrite it by 2,000-3,000 or whatever it is. It's not a huge amount of money to ICANN, but that's the sort of mechanism that I think might be an idea.
So when we met with Sally in Toronto, there was no lack of good ideas as to how it could be done, communications could be done, how the business constituency could be helpful. But it ultimately comes, public relations, communications comes down to storytelling. And ICANN does not tell very good stories because it spends too much time talking to itself. The reports from Davos, I applaud FADI for going to the World Economic Forum. I applaud him for being well-spoken. But if you read what he said, it's not really a story except about him. You know, it's my story, and we can all be happy that FADI has come as far and done as much and been as successful as he's been. But he didn't really do anything to convince, in my mind, the people in the audience, business people, that ICANN is an important institution. I mean, the risk management side of ICANN is fairly clear, and it's not really very interesting. Okay, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't have the discipline or the desire to do that to myself. If I were, perhaps it would be more interesting, ICANN. But where ICANN matters, so I think about Amazon.com. And 15 years ago when Jeff Bezos had this idea, and he said, okay, what's a good metaphor for what I'm trying to do? You know, the Amazon, it delivers everything it can to the people that live along that river. It's like Anthony Quinn said in I'm like a river to my people. So he picked Amazon.com, right? Under the terms of the new GTLD program, he might not have had access to that name because it's a geographic region, and there would have been an objection, could have been an objection. And so Amazon wouldn't exist. And what if there was a couple of enterprising people in New Delhi who said, you know, we're going to take Amazon on, and we're going to do it directly. We're going to go with Indus.com, right? Because the Indus River is to India what the Amazon is to South America. Well, they couldn't get that either. And so the stories that ICANN should be telling are about how by your involvement, you are creating opportunity, not just risk prevention. If you want to prevent risk, send your lawyers. Okay, the guys from Latham & Watkins here in L.A., they can handle that for you. But if you want to participate in what the future of the Internet is going to look like, how it will act, how it will be responsive to you, then that's really why you need to participate. I'm a consultant. I can talk to all my clients till I'm blue in the face. They're not going to listen to me about that. They're just going to expect me to pay attention and bring them in when they need to be brought in. But it's really ICANN's role, I think, to establish that magnetic umbrella for businesses to participate. And I just don't think they do a good job at it. And I think I'm being polite when I say I don't think they're doing a good job.
I totally agree. I mean, I can just give you my personal experience in this. Not for me personally, I'm sure. But, I mean, here's the truth about my organization, just to completely support what you're saying. I mean, I am a lawyer in the legal department, and the primary reason I'm here is because we cannot get a business group interested in this organization. We cannot find in our vast global corporation, there's not a single business users group, who wants to participate in ICANN because they don't think it has value. And so that's why we end up here as lawyers, because it's like this is the only place in our organization, and that, I agree, it's totally a failing of ICANN, because I can talk to all of our business groups till I'm blue in the face, but if they don't find it to be useful, they don't think there's a need for it, they're just not going to participate, and that's what's happening.
I mean, my client interactions are either at the CEO level, head of communications, or some public relations person, and I bring ICANN up, and they funnel me so fast to the legal department.
Microphone.
My head spins.
Guys, we've just got a couple more minutes. I just want to see, so we've talked a lot about communications. I want you to look, if you don't mind, again at the list of items tonight that are, and on issues like Elisa will take the lead on who is. I asked Steve if he would take the lead on RAA and also on new GTLDs, but Marie and will need to be contributing, and Elisa there as well. Remember that this is supposed to be a dialogue, and the people in the room with you from the executive committee, from not everyone in the room agrees with you. And some of us are going to have dinner with the ISPs tonight, and we're going to try to improve the interaction with the ISPs, who had some confusion, I think, that the BC is the shadow IPC. The BC has always focused on security and stability and threats and risk through the abusive use of domain names.
And we have looked at trademark protection as a mechanism and a tool to help protect consumers, as opposed to being driven just by, well, and there's nothing wrong with saving money for brands. Brands are companies who deserve not to have to waste their money, just as all businesses deserve not to have to waste their money. But we just look at it differently, and we also look at it as there's opportunity in this as well. So I think we've got a great opportunity to try to understand more of the concerns of the ISPs. Actually, we might even have an ISP sitting in this room now that I think about it. Tomorrow we're also going to have the opportunity to try to find some kind of commonality with some of the other SGs or constituencies. I think with the NPOC, it's going to be a great opportunity for us to talk to the NGOs. There's a real academic there from Canada. There are people who Poncele is coming with the NPOC, and he is affiliated with AFICTA as well. So it's an opportunity for us to try to understand more and see where we can build some bridges so we can then work on policy issues collaboratively. This issue of whether the GNSO is broken is one that I think we need to be very careful about. There are people who want to blow up the GNSO and the Policy Council and start over. And one of the things that I can say about this organization right now is it is going through massive, massive change. And just moving deck chairs around before you know how many people, you know, you need to get to the promised land kind of thing here, I think there needs to be, I'm mixing my analogies, aren't I, Marie? But I think we need to be very thoughtful about what would the purpose of blowing things up and starting over being. Ideally, brands who become registries are not going to, Bryce is not going to stop being interested in all the other things that he's interested in. So ideally, what we should be trying to do, I think, is to say, let's be very welcoming to the brands who are running a registry business, but that's not their primary use of the Internet, and how do we broaden and deepen their involvement? They can be members in two places. They just can't vote in two places. Let's see what we think at the end of this 2 days, and we review the transcripts and we sit down with our members. What is it that ICANN can do to help us be much more influential on behalf of business, not just in the GNSO, but at ICANN overall? I think that's sort of the objective I'd like us to take into this, and to, you know, not have Fadi in the position of going around the business constituency and striking individual arrangements, but thinking that he needs to work with a very empowered business constituency. Other than that, you have nothing to do. We're going to stop the recording. Is there a last word, Gabby, from you or Susan or Angie?
Yeah, this is to echo what everybody's saying about the importance of the communications, and having done this kind of work for quite a while, it's a big challenge, but I think the Internet has the potential to make it easier if we use that tool wisely to reach these groups and get the responses that we need, mainly involvement and action. Thanks.
Guys, thanks again, and we will, I'm going to try to put together a few notes that we can sort of, so we can start some thinking about, not everybody will be able to listen to the transcript or be on the call, so what we'll try to do tomorrow is come up with some key points as we kind of maybe over lunch we can think about, so what did we hear in the conversation with Fadi that we think it's worth our saying to the members? Here's the issue, and we are going to have to think about how we deal with the concerns about the implementation, but also think about what the high of the new utility program, but also what are the higher level issues that we need to get across as well. So we're having a CEO relevant discussion. Thanks again, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Can you please stop the recording?
Thank you for everyone's participation. You may disconnect.
Thanks.
Thank you, Benny.